This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 15, 2018. The Third Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Whenever there comes a time when the readings speak to something that we hear very frequently in the Mass, almost every time we gather together, I like to point it out, show that the Mass is a presentation of what God says, not something that has been put together by man. One of the places that we hear something most frequently is when we hear the comfortable words, as they are traditionally known. We generally don't use that term for words, we use it for things. But words do give comfort, hence they are comfortable words, affectionately referred to in the circles as the comfy words. One of the four of which is, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Why is that considered comfortable? It should be much more than comfortable. It should give us a sense of overwhelming joy to be Christians because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It is what differentiates us from everybody else. You always say, all religions are the same. You probably would never think that you would hear it from this pulpit. Yeah, they are. They are all the same, except for ours. We are the only ones that claim that we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. Well, the monotheistic religion, well, one of them denies that Jesus Christ is your advocate. You look at him as a mad rabbi. And the other deny that you need an advocate with the Father. Out and out deny that you need an advocate. We are the only ones who say we can't do anything to get ourselves into heaven. We need an advocate to do so. We need somebody who stands in our stead. And we know that this is our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. We as Catholics understand that we need an advocate. We need one. That passage, St. John's first letter, he says, and it can be kind of overwhelming, the first statement, I am writing this to you so that you may not sin. And then he goes on to talk about keeping the commandments and how that is the sure way to know that you know Jesus Christ. That can be overwhelming because you sit back and go, darn, I sin all the time. Where it's comfortable is the fact that he says, I am writing this to you that you may not sin. And the next thing he says is, but if you do, and he's throwing us a bone with that if in there because we do. If you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It doesn't have anything to do with what you do about your sin. It's that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. St. John knows perfectly, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he communicates. We do sin, but we should strive not to. But in that striving, when we do, we have an advocate. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We have this advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Don't get caught up in the fact that in the comfy words it says Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and then in the reading today it says he's the expiation for our sins. It is not synonymous, but Jesus Christ is both. Expiation means that sin is wiped out. It is cleaned completely. The expiation for our sins happens first and foremost on the cross. The expiation of our sins continues in the confessional. When we hear the words of Jesus Christ, I absolve you from all of your sins. They are expiated. They are done away with. You are crystal clean. You're as pure as the driven snow after your baptism and when you walk out of the confessional. How can this be? How can this be that sin is wiped out? Well, guess what? It's better than that. It's just not expiated. Jesus Christ is also the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means that God turns his face away from the sin. Because guess what? Most people die before they are administered the last sacraments. They do not die in this perfect place. When we're not in the perfect place, there is a propitiation for our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ, because the Father turns his head away from our sins, away from us, and he looks at his Son. When we are standing next to his Son, our Lord cannot look at us without casting his eyes upon the wounds that our Lord Jesus Christ still bears in his hands, his feet, and his side in heaven, if we're standing next to him. Sinner, yes, but the Father looks down, and Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sins, draws his attention toward him. That is why this is not just comfortable, but should fill us with overwhelming joy. Because Jesus Christ the righteous is the expiation and propitiation for our sins. You will have some of your non-Catholic Christian friends who talk about the advocates that we have. Jesus Christ is the only, this is just between us and him. No, it's not. Is between us and him, us and the church. We struggle with things and we need a whole lot of different advocates and we need a whole lot of different intercessors. That's why we have the communion of saints. That's why we have the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we have the angels. It's just not between us and God. The scriptures. Because I say so, because the Catholic Church says so. No, because the scriptures say so. Angels, for instance. Is God not our ultimate protection? He is our shield and buckler. He is the one. He is our fortress. He is where we hide. But throughout the scriptures, who protects us in this world? The angels. So it's just not between us and God. It's also between us and those whom he has put in place. As it says in the collect for the Mass of the Angels, that he has put this together in a wonderful order. It's a wonderful order that God works through advocates and intercessors. That our Lord Jesus Christ is our only mediator. He is the only redeemer. The intercessions and advocacy of all the others is presented to Jesus Christ, who is our only Redeemer. This is where it should overwhelm us, not just with joy and comfort, but to truly understand, how can I be a sinner? How can I have done all that I have done, all that I continue to do, and probably all that I will do? How can he expiate or propitiate those things? Well, because he is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is eternal God. That is why we needed the incarnation, because we needed a sacrifice that was perfect, because we do sin a lot and we do sin grievously. But if we have Jesus Christ, although we may sin a lot and grievously and for a long time, no matter what the case, we are still finite. You could sin from the time you breathe your first breath, which most of us do, until we die 110 years later. And if you come to Jesus Christ, the last moments of your life, truly and with true contrition, you'll go to heaven. How can that be? How can that be? It can be because, as I said, you are finite and He is infinite. His merits are infinite. You cannot sin enough. One drop of His blood, one drop to be shed from the infinite God of mercy, one drop would have been enough to cleanse every person who has ever, is, or will ever walk on this planet, to cleanse them of their sin and get them into heaven. One drop. But He shed all of His blood for those, not everybody, but for the many who would come to Him in faith and obedience. His merits are infinite. No matter how bad or how much you sin, it is still finite. There are limits to your sin. There are no limits to His mercy if we come to Him in faith, obedience, and contrition. If Jesus Christ is a righteous advocate, and this is where it gets kind of practical, and this is where you come into play. St. Gregory the Great poses this question. He says, a righteous advocate never takes an unrighteous case. So how can Jesus Christ, the righteous, take on our case, we who are unrighteous? He wouldn't be righteous if He defended a person. This is an easy illustration for me to understand, because for 28 years of my life, I was very close to being in courtrooms. I saw a whole lot of things. And why do people go to court with a lawyer? Because why? Not guilty. I'm not guilty. If an advocate is righteous, he cannot take on an unrighteous case. Now, those of you who practice law, and of there are several in this place, man plays man's games. There are things that you get. All this not guilty stuff, I'm not saying I didn't do it, but this loophole, that loophole, this consideration, that consideration. Like I said, I hung around courtrooms. I've sat in judges' chambers. I sat in a judge's chamber one time when he said directly, I mean, to me, I cannot believe the state did such a trashy job in this case. He is guilty of sin, and I got to let him walk. That's unrighteous. That is unrighteousness. No righteous advocate can do that. So that should give you a consideration if you practice law and say how you and what you want to do in your area of practice. No one righteous can take on an unrighteous case. So how can Jesus Christ take on our case? Because if we come to Him in faith and obedience, when we stand at the judgment seat of the Father, and it happens every time we go in the confessional, what is the formula? Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It has been X amount of time since my last confession. I accuse myself of the following. We say, I am guilty of these things. That's why Jesus Christ, the righteous, can take your case. If you say you're not guilty of sin, St. John says in this letter, you're a liar if you say you do not sin. You have to plead guilty. That's contrition. I have done this. I am sorry for this. I need an advocate because I am guilty. That is why Jesus Christ the righteous can take your case. It must be that you admit your guilt, which we should all do. That is it. I love when people, I'm glad we don't get into that Catholic guilt thing anymore. You better be into that Catholic guilt thing because you're guilty. That's all there is to it. And if you don't admit it, as the Holy Spirit speaks to St. John, you are a liar. You do sin, and you need an advocate, and that advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. All the readings today talked about repentance. From the first one in Acts, when St. Peter is confronting the Jews, the ones who killed God, deicides, no matter what you may read, the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Peter says explicitly, you denied him in the presence of Pilate, and then you let Pilate kill him. They don't say that. He says, you denied him in the presence of Pilate. You ask a murder to be given you, and then you kill the Lord of glory. This is what I mean about infinite mercy. St. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, you killed the Lord of glory. You killed God. But if you repent, he is your advocate. It doesn't get any worse than killing God. So when your friends or your family members say, I can't go back to church because I've done this, I do that. If they haven't killed God, they're not one-upping the Jews. And if they turn to Christ, he will be their advocate. Jesus Christ himself says in the gospel, repentance and forgiveness should be preached in my name to the whole world. It's waiting for you. Just embrace it. That's our part, embracing it. Embracing it and accepting him, embracing it in the confessional, and understanding that we have to walk in his ways. This is that striving not to sin. The commandments for us, and that's what, if you read, and I hope you do, go home and read 1 John chapter 2. Those first six verses talk about being sure that you're in Christ because you keep his commandments. That's walking in his ways. The commandments for us have become not a legal code as it was for the Jews, where you dot I's and cross T's and you're okay. For us, the commandments are a true and practical knowledge of God in the person of Jesus Christ. When I say knowledge, I don't mean cognitively. I mean in the sense of the word when it's used in Scripture. For instance, in Genesis, when it says, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. It doesn't get any more intimate than that knowledge. And that's the knowledge that we have of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is personal. It is intimate. This is that superfluous personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we hear so much from so many mouths. This is what it truly means. This is the profound nature of a personal relationship with Christ, is to be within him, to know him, not in your head only, but to know him and do what he does. That was our first prayer today, that we may walk in his ways. That's what 1 John says, that is a way that we are sure that we are with him, knowing and doing his revealed will. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. His mercies are infinite. And St. John writes this to make sure that we don't make any wrong appeals to the divine mercy. A wrong appeal is an appeal from presumption. Oh, he's just Jesus and he loves us so much. He doesn't mind what we do. Yeah, he does. And guess what? We have a tendency not to do it. That when we don't do it, we have an advocate. whose mercies are infinite, as long as we, in a very practical sense, walk with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.